coffee?
Yes.
Right.
And I went down there, but I didn't go there. See, I held out again. Here, after I'd had that great year with the Milwaukee, leading the most hits, now I come back and the White Sox won't give me any more than I got the day I came out of school.
Well, you're still their property.
I was still their property. They just farmed me out. I come back and here I'm not getting a penny more than when I signed up out of school, $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And remember, I led the White Sox in 32, get the most hits in 34. You know, don't you think you ought to get a little raise? So I didn't go out there, so I missed that spring training. And finally I held out, so they sold me to Cincinnati. And that's when McPhail was the general manager there.
Did you like that?
I liked it. I just had a so-so year there. I played third base and some first base.
Were you in the first night game?
Yes, I was. I was there and I played in that. Oh, that was quite a sight. Of course, I was used to playing night baseball, having come from Milwaukee.
Yeah, right.
But they had really good lights, and Jim Bottomley was playing first base. I was playing third. And they turned those lights on. It was quite a night. The place was full, of course. And knowing the fail, he had all the razzle dazzle he could get going. It was really.
Chiazza got the first hit.
I don't remember who got the first hit, but it was. It was. I'm glad I did it. And it's a landmark kind of thing. But I. Oh, this. This guy, I can give you a real thing about this. So, when I was playing for Milwaukee, Steve O'Neill was managing Toledo in the same league, and I got to be very friendly with him. I mean, they were on different teams and everything. And he said, "Billy," he said, "I like you, and I like the way you play and your attitude toward baseball. If I ever get up to be manager in a big league team, I want you to play for me." I said, "Well, Steve, that's wonderful. I hope I do." That was in 34. So I went to Cincinnati. He also had told me that he had, that one game when they put me in to catch as a kind of a, the Suns, the old battery, I never even caught any games at all. Well, I'm trying to catch, and young Ed Walsh Jr. was pitching. That particular day, it turns out, of that year, the Toledo team was traveling through, maybe from Toledo to Milwaukee, and they stopped over in Chicago, and the whole team came out to watch the ball game. And Steve O'Neill had seen me catch that day. And I don't think I did anything extraordinary, but he said, "I saw you catch that game." He said, "I think you could develop into a fine catcher. And if I get to be a manager, I'd like to have you join." Well, that kind of approach got through to me. I like, if somebody talks to me that way, then I would want to catch for him. So now I'm in Cincinnati, and he's come up to manage Cleveland. And he approaches Cleveland, wants to get me up there. And I want to go there. And they were jockeying back and forth about price and all, and they got down to, finally, they were $5,000 apart, how much Cleveland would pay and how much Cincinnati would accept. And I wanted to, this has never been done in all history, I wanted to play so badly for Steve and Cleveland that I said, "I'll pay the difference." And I did.
Uh-huh.
I offered to pay $2,500, and Slapnick, I believe, was the general manager, said, "Well, we'll split it." I paid $1,250 to go to Cleveland because I felt it was Steve and the kind of a fellow that was encouraging me that I would play well. And you look in the books, I hit 351, which verified that baseball is so psychological that if you're happy and encouraged and everything and managed properly, that's the role managers have to play. It isn't putting in the pitcher or taking out the pitcher. It has to be a man that knows the psychology of the players and can get them to want to play well for him.
See, we both grew up in Cleveland.
Oh.
And I live in Lakewood. She lived in Cleveland Heights. We met later. But you were one of my heroes in that 36 season. I wasn't sick that summer. I spent most of the summer in bed with bronchial pneumonia.
Is that right?
My one joy was to follow the Indians in that great hitting year they had. So I wish you would tell me a little bit about that team.
Well, we had terrific hitters. Averill was one of the finest hitters of all time, in my opinion. Earl Averill, Trotsky, God rest his soul. I see where he's passed away recently. He's a fine hitter. And we had a marvelous pitching staff. We had Mel Harder.
Did you catch the game Bob Feller pitched against the Cardinals?
I caught, no, I'll tell you about that in a minute. We had really wonderful, wonderful pitchers. And Bob, that was a year that Bob Feller was pitching for Fargo, North Dakota, I think, one of the little league team way up in the north. They'd sent him up there because he was just a rookie. He's only, 17 or something, off of the farm in Iowa. And they sent him up there to pitch. And he pitched very well up there, but he hurt his arm up there. So they brought him down to Cleveland, where they felt they had the team doctor was more used to athletic injuries. And he worked with Bob Feller and got his arm pretty much all right. And then they had him pitching in the Cleveland team in the City League there. I think he pitched for the Rothbard Jewelers. And so his arm came around, and they were getting ready to send him back up to Fargo. But that night we were going on a 3-week trip through the East. They thought, well, it'd be a nice thing to take him along. Well, I guess he pitched that that exhibition game against the Cardinals right about then.
Yeah,
and Steve O'Neill, the manager, caught that game because he didn't want anybody to get hurt. You know, just Pitlack and I were the only two catchers. So Steve caught that game, and his blistering fastball and wild. And he struck out of it. I think the first eight hitters, the Cardinals, the ninth man bunted. So they thought, well, this kid has something. We'll take him around the East just to show him how the league is. They're going to give him some incentive to work hard to come back up. So we were in Washington, and we were in a game way, I think we lost it. We were behind about 8 or 9 runs, so they put him in to pitch the last 3 innings of that game, and I was catching. So I did happen to be the first one that ever caught him in the big leagues. But I'll tell you a funny story about that. Washington, I told you about the Wardman Park Hotel, that's where we stayed. And these were depression times, so we had the run of the whole hotel. We didn't just get rooms, we had apartments in the Wardman Park Hotel with the living room, and then the bathroom and kitchen, and then the bedroom. So we were in high style. But we got to Washington, they assigned me to Feller to room with me because they almost did that all the time with the young kids because I was sort of square and goody-goody, and they knew I wouldn't get them in any trouble. So we got there to the hotel about 8 o'clock, and I always used to eat a pint of ice cream every night. So I left Bob up in the room, and I walked clear down about 3 blocks to get this ice cream, and I came back up. This is now about 8:15, and the door's locked, and I can't figure it out because I know I just left him there. And he answered the door, and finally, he's already in bed, asleep. You know, farm boy, he used to go in bed about 8 o'clock. He's asleep. He comes to the door and opens the door, and I said, I could see that he'd been in bed. I said, you go back and lie down, Bob, go ahead and go to sleep. But the reason that I could know he was in bed without any other knowing was he had a long, flowing white nightgown on, and all the way to the floor. I hadn't seen one of those for years. I could never get over that. So he went back to the bedroom and went to bed again. And I went on in the living room part and went over to one of these writing desks and open out like that. And then I put my ice cream on the part you open out where you usually write on. And I looked, and on top of this desk, there was an old ball, all grass-stained and really dirty ball. And we get sort of snobbish about baseballs, you know, and organized ball. You want it to be nice and clean and everything. Anyway, I'm eating the ice cream, and I looked at this ball. And I looked at it and got it under the light where I could see it better. It had every conceivable inch of it covered Bob Feller. He's practicing up. He'd seen these big liquors signing his autographs. He was practicing up, and who would have ever known it? In about 3 or 4 weeks, that'd be the most coveted autograph in baseball.
Yeah, sure.
He's a tremendous pitcher and a really fine fellow.
How about that first three-inning stint?
I don't remember anything specially, except he pitched acceptably. I think he was a little scared, and I think I caught him later on.